ओके श्लोका 5:36 न खिद्यते नो विषयै प्रमोदते न सज्जते नापि विरज्यते च स्वस्मिन् सदा क्रीडति नन्दति स्वयं निरन्तरानन्दरसेन तृप्तः. सो इन् दि प्रीवियस् श्लोका श्लोका 5:35 दि आचार्य सेट् ब्रह्मवित् उत्तमोत्तमः. So such a wise person, Brahmavit, he is the most exalted person in creation, Uttamottamaha. He excels in the world. That was what was said at that time, the person who excels in the world, he is the Uttamottamaha. So when we say Uttamottamaha, what do we really mean by excelling all the other person? That's what we mean. Does it mean that he will become number one in some, you know, great sport or something like that, or he will be a number one musician or any of those, things like the various academic or, you know, those kinds of arts or those kinds of education, those kinds of things. So here Shankaracharya says he excels in terms of his mental conditions. The jnanam, that knowledge, that transforms his emotional personality. That's what he means. Therefore, there is a total transformation with regard to his emotional response to the various situations in life. That is jnana pale. There is a difference. Which palam is available for experience actually? We have repeatedly said, Brahma anubhava is not something that arrives. It is not a future event. But Brahma jnana palam anubhava, that is something which comes to our mind. It does not come as a flash, that also we should know clearly. But it is a very, very gradual transformation, which is a matter for experience, and that experience should not be equated to Brahman experience. We have to be very careful in understanding this. Brahman experience, it is not an event, but is Brahma Jnana Palam, that Anubhava it is. So that experience here should be equated to Brahma Jnana Pala experience. There is a gradual increase of Shanti Anubhava, Abhayam, all those things, contentment, Tripti, all those things this person develops. It is not like I told, it's not a flash, but it grows. And so if you want to really quantify that, for example, the three factors that we have mentioned all the time, the frequency, the intensity and the recovery period with regard to every emotional reaction, that becomes less and less. Frequency is less, intensity less, recovery period also is less, which we can measure by having, for example, a diary, a spiritual diary. It seems Swami Sivananda, he had presented how to maintain a spiritual diary. So there will be one column with days, and anger how many times in one column, fear how many times another column. And you are supposed to regularly watch that, and you can even quantify the improvement, your own progress, how long it lasted and how many people suffered because of your anger. They are all what? They are not jnana anubhava, but they are all jnana phala anubhava. So we can clearly experience, not posthumously, but in this life itself, we can experience that transformation at the emotional level. That plays a very, very important role. For jnanam, the sadhana chatushtaka sampatti, that plays a particular role. But for jnana palam, sadhana chatushtaka sampatti plays a greater role. For jnanam, it plays relatively lesser role only. For jnana palam, it plays a very, very important role. Therefore, if you are very particular about jnana palam, along with the maintenance of jnanam, then you have to maintain sadhana chatushtaka sampatti also. Viveka, vairagya, samadhi shatka sampatti, all those. And maintenance of sadhana chatushtaka sampatti after jnanam, that is called vasana kshayaha. Actually, this term we have already seen earlier, vasana kshayaha. So maintenance of sadhana chatushtaka sampatti after jnanam. So vasana kshaya is a new name for sadhana chatushtaka sampatti, we can call it. So before studying shastra, it is called sadhana chatushtaka sampatti, and after study of shastras, we can call it vasana kshaya. And if you really analyze what is this vasana kshaya, it is nothing but what? Vairagyasya dhridikaranam. Shamadhi shatka sampatihi dhridikaranam. The one you firm them up. So Vidyaranya Swami, he emphasizes that in his Jivan Mukti Viveka, he repeatedly says, if you are very particular about peace of mind, it is not enough that you give time for understanding the Shastra alone. You have to give equal importance to Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti also. And how is that experience? Jivan Mukti Anubhava, which is the excellence of a Jnani. That is what is said in this shloka. So, Vishayaihi. Vishayaihi means Vishayaihi na khidyate, no Vishayaihi pramodate. Whatever comes in one's life, he is neither elated nor depressed. Na kidyate, is not depressed or anything, and pramodate. The mind enjoys an equipoise, a balance. So there is, for example, a very great financial gain, or there is a terrible share market shakedown, all sorts of things. So na prakrishyet priyam, na prakrishyet priyam prapyam, no dvijayet prapya cha priyam. Whether apriyam comes also, he is not, having a very morose kind of an attitude. But if he got some exalted position also, he is not going to be exalted. So, the first excellence is what? Balance of mind. Na khidyade. It's not depressed. Na khidyade. Na pramodade. He is not even elated. Pramodade, not even elated. Vishayahi. Because of the setup. Vishayahi refers to the setup. The setup does not cause upset for him. If you reverse setup, we have told earlier, it causes upset. So these verses, these shlokas are all based on what? The sthita prajna lakshanani of the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, or parabhakta lakshanani of the 12th chapter of the Gita, or gunatita lakshanani of the 14th chapter of the Gita, Bhagavad Gita. We have to remember all those shlokas. We have already seen them in detail. Na sajjate, he is not attached to anything in life also. So, he cuts off attachments in two different ways. Whichever is convenient, we can take it, no problem. One method of detachment is what? This higher method, powerful method, that is what? I am paramarthikam satyam. And everything else is vyavaharikam. That attitude, that bhava. So, paramarthikam cannot be related to vyavaharikam. And therefore, I do not have any relatives. And I am not a relative to anyone also. Very difficult to think. So this is the higher method. Aham, Satyam, Jagan, Mithya. And if this works, that is the method of Vedanta application. Vedanta prescribes this method. I am not related to anyone. Asangaha. If this appears very tough, for example, the next method is what? Hand over all the relatives to whom? To the Lord. By asserting that everyone belongs to the Lord only. I do not belong to anyone. No one belongs to me. All of us together, we belong to one God. Therefore, if you want relationship, have relationship with God and God alone. So, either no relationship or relationship only with God. This is called na sajjate napi virajyate. That does not mean detachment, hatred, or dislike for people. Therefore, you need not dismiss anyone. You can include everyone. Let the people be around. Let the people not be around. Doesn't matter. Avoid both raga and dvesha. Na sajjate, napi virajyate cha. Swasmin sada kridati nandati swayam. That if he rejects everything in the world, where will he find his entertainment or his enjoyment? Because he is rejecting everything. Because relationship certainly gives me a moral support. Enjoyment, it gives me happiness, joy in the company of people. That is why we strike a relationship, because we are happy. Therefore, if I cut all relations, how will I enjoy my life? How will I find the security in my life? With relationship, I find security. Who will take care of me tomorrow? Even for a sannyasi, there is a problem perhaps. For that also, there are only two answers. One answer is what? I, the paramarthika satyam, I do not require anything for peace, for fullness, for contentment, for security, for any of them. thinks that I need is a delusion. If I think I need this and that, that's only a delusion. It is an assumption without proper inquiry. For example, a smoker. He was never smoking before, and he started smoking. And then after 10, 15 years, he thinks that without the cigarette, at those respective times, he has all those respective times, life is impossible, that's what he thinks. He cannot imagine even a life without a cigarette. How did he come to this conclusion? Because he himself got into that, and then he perpetuates the notion that I cannot live without that. But it can be easily proved to him that there are hundreds of people who do not touch even any cigarette. Similarly, many of the things that we think we cannot live without, we can happily live without them. In fact, without them, we can be even happier, as Swamiji says. But we have developed that vasana, and we have nourished that vasana also. Therefore, this wise man, this jnani, he enjoys in where? In himself. Atmanyeva atmana tushtaha. Again, Gita language. So, swasmin nandati. Nandati, he revels. He revels himself. Swasmin kridati. He entertains himself by himself. The Muntaka Upanishad Vakyam also we have said earlier in the Atma Kridaha Atmaratihi At Kriyavan Yesha Brahma Vidam Varishtaha. Such a person, Varishtaha. Therefore, the secret is what? Secret of Vedanta is we do not require anything for happiness. We need only ourselves for happiness. We do not require anything for peace. We require only ourselves for our peace. We require things for physical survival. All right. For that food is there. That is why Bhiksham Dehi, even for a sannyasi, Bhiksham Dehi is allowed for a jnani. Here we are talking about the psychological requirement, about the physical requirement. He will deal with it later. Acharya will talk about physical requirements later. Now we are talking about the psychological requirement for a jnani. And therefore, only triptaha. He is totally contented. He does not miss anything in life. You know, there is a beautiful song Rajaji wrote, Kurai Ondrum Illai. He has nothing kurai at all, nothing he lacks. Not only verbally, but from the innermost heart, he can say, I don't lack anything. I do not miss anything in life. And this contentment for him comes from where? Nirantara Ananda Rasena. From the Ananda Rasa, the nectar of Atmananda. So, Atmanaha Purnatvam, which is gained in terms of knowledge. So, Atmanandaha, that is gained in terms of knowledge that I am Nitya Ananda Swarupaha. And why do we say that it is gained in terms of knowledge? Because it is Nirantaraha, it is permanent. Anything gained in terms of experience, all experiential pleasures, we have told many times, is impermanent. Because there is no such thing called permanent experience. Therefore, Anandaha is permanent since it is gained in the form of jnanam. And knowledge is permanent. Shloka 537. Kshudham dehavyatam tyaktva balakridati vastuni tathaiva vidvan ramate nirmamo niraham sukhi. So if I gain knowledge and maintain all this sadhana chatushtaka sampatti, then jnana palam can be experienced. That's what we said. So this experience of jnana palam, that is called, there is another term for it, that is called jivan muktihi. So jnanam plus sadhana chatushtaka sampatti will give an experience which is called jivan mukti. So let us state it again. Jnanam, knowledge, plus sadhana chatushtaka sampatti, all this viveka, vairagya, all samadhi shakta sampatti, all those things, that will give rise to an experience which is called jivan mukti. So, the experience is in the form of what? In the form of peace, in the form of relaxation, in the form of abhayatvam, without fear, and it is not sudden flash of experience, but it is gradually growing relaxation over a period of time. This gradually growing jnana pala anubhava, again be careful, not jnana anubhava, jnana pala anubhava, that is called jivan mukti. So he says, this jivan mukti anubhava is so great that all the other prarabdha anubhavas will become weaker in front of this benefit or this anubhava. So again, the jivan mukti anubhava is so great that in front of it, all the prarabdha anubhava will become very weak. So prarabdha anubhava cannot be neutralized. Let us be careful. We cannot neutralize prarabdha anubhava because prarabdhasya bhogadeva kshayaha. Therefore, for a jivan mukta, two anubhavas are there. One is prarabdha anubhava and the another is jivan mukti anubhava. And we have to be very careful, not Brahman anubhava. So, Brahma jnana pala anubhava. So, Brahma jnanam is intellectual. The intellectual Brahma jnanam will give an experience, a palam, an anubhava palam, which is the experience. So, this Brahma jnana pala anubhava, that is called jivan mukti anubhava. So, in the form of reduction of the frequency, the intensity and the recovery period of negative emotions, which we call as the balance of mind. So this is how, this is the metric which we have to ask every day. So Shankaracharya, he says, this jivan mukti anubhava is so great like the sunlight, that the prarabdha anubhava is like the light from all the distant stars. They are all far, far away. So when the midday sun comes, you don't even see any stars. That is how the prarabdha anubhava becomes. So for a jivan mukta, prarabdha anubhava is a pinprick. It is very insignificant. It is not worth grumbling at all, not worth getting obsessed with. Losing the sleepover and all that thing, publicizing all over the world. The moment you ask him, how are you? That's it. He immediately starts telling, oh, what happened that day? Son, daughter-in-law, this did, son-in-law, this did. Same thing. It is not that any tragedy is absent. But the tragedy is as good as not tragedy. So, and Shankaracharya, he gives an example for that. It is like a child. When the child is absorbed in so many toys, is playing, it does not bother about its physical discomfort. It may have even fever. It may have hunger. The child does not know. Not because they are absent, because the child is so absorbed in that toy. Exactly like that child, a jnani also does not bother about all these petty things driven by prarabdha. He says, balaha kridati, child plays. For him, it is a leela, it's a play. And vastunihi, it's a very interesting word actually, the vastuni, because the word vastu, that can have two meanings. One is the ordinary meaning and the another one is a philosophical meaning. What is the ordinary meaning? Vastu, any vastu is an object, anything. It can be a toy, it can be a pen, it can be a rupee note, they are all called vastu. But philosophical meaning of vastu is Brahman. Brahman, the ultimate reality. So, in double meaning, Acharya says, balaha kridati vastunihi. Balaha, a child, plays with kridati, with toys, vastunihi. And how? Kshudam tyaktva. Shud means hunger. Shudam tektva means ignoring its hunger. The mother has to remember the time of feed, the medicine, when it is to be given to the child. If not, what will be the consequences? All these things, the responsibility of the mother. Child doesn't know any of those. The concern also belongs to the mother. The child does not even bother. Therefore, kshudam tektva, kshuda, as I told, means hunger. So, ignoring deha vyatham. And the bodily pain or adhyagvata, that means the bodily pain, discomfort, all that. So the child ignores all of them when the child is engaged in the play. It is busy, very busy, absorbed in the toys. Tataiva, in the same way, vidwan ramate, the wise person vidwan, he also considers Brahman alone worth to be concerned about. He revels in that Brahman. In fact, the whole world is a petty thing for him. So the people are all bothered about Jnani's health. What will happen to him if he does not eat? People are all worried about him. People bother about his health, his longevity, bhiksha, all other things people worry about. But the Jnani does not consider them as any big affair at all. Therefore, vidwan tadaiva, like a boy, tadaiva, like a boy, like a child, ramate. Nirmamaha. Nirmamaha means without mamakara, without mind attitude. Because he does not look up the body as he, either or his. Because many of us have the problem, we think the body is us. And some people think the body is also belonging to me. So either he or his. The body, according to him, belongs to whom? Belongs to the Lord. As long as it has to survive, let it survive. As long as Prarabdha is there, it will survive. So, Nirmamaha, Niraham, Sukhi. Without Ahankara, without Mamakara, with respect to external objects. Ahankara, with respect to the body-mind complex, both he does not have. Mamakara, with respect to external objects, he doesn't have both. So, these are all the commentary upon the sloka 535, Brahmavid Jayati. You know, if you, in the last class, that's what we did. So, that for a Brahmavid, Jayati, Jayati commentary. So, Jayati means he excels. He surpasses. Means what? With respect to, without any worry. So, Chinta, Chinta Nastikila, Sadashi Brahmendra, he wrote a beautiful song. Chinta Nastikila, Tesham Chinta Nastikila. They don't know what is worry at all. Shloka 538. Chinta shunya madaina bhikshamashanam panam saridvarishu svatantriyena nirankusha stityarabhihi nidra smashane vane vastram kshalana shoshanadi rahitam digvastu shayyamahi sancharo nigamanta vitishu vidam Krida Pare Brahmani. So, if such a jnani, if he doesn't care for everything, anything, whatever it is, including his own survival, then what about his basic needs? Like food, clothing, shelter, how they are all taken care of for him? Shankaracharya says it is very simple. Whenever he is hungry, he says, Bhavati Bhiksham Dehi. Because he is not very particular about the type of food. If you are particular about the type of food, you should have all the concerned things. For example, proper materials, rice, whether it is this rice or that basmati rice or this rice, or whether I have avaka pickle or this pickle. So all those problems, if you are choosy about the food. First of all, your dependence. Wherever dependence is required, your dependence should be general dependence. Any type of food from any source, you should be welcome. You cannot say, I only want this rice only and not that rice. I want only this type of sambar, not that type of sambar. None of those. Therefore, since he is not very particular, only the body has to be protected by some type of food or the other. Because the body is the property of the Lord. And he is only a trustee of this property. Therefore, he has to say, Bhavati Bhiksham Dehi. He takes Bhiksha. And fortunately, Veda has designed a society, our Vedic society, which takes care of such wise people. The society is also designed to feed brahmacharis. Actually, among the four ashramas, one ashrama is meant to feed the other three ashramas. And therefore he says, Bhavati Bhiksham Dehi, which is the ashrama. The Grahastha ashrama is supposed to feed the other three ashramas. So the Brahmacharya ashrama, the Vanaprasthi and also the Sannyasi. So the society will feed him. Not only will feed, society consider itself blessed to feed such Mahatmas. It has got a practical significance because the very survival of such Mahatma is what? Is the benefit to the society. Because Shastra says, one such Mahatma is enough. In Tamil, there is a saying, Nallar Oruvar Ularel. If there is one person, good person is there in society. So his very survival is a blessing to the society. So the society takes care of him. He says, Chinta Shunyam Adhainya Baiksham Ashanam. For your basic needs, may you depend upon Bhiksha. But the advice is given assuming that the student is what? Is a sannyasi or a brahmachari? Grahastha student has no right to live on Bhiksha. Whereas a brahmachari can ask Bhiksha. A vanaprastha can ask for Bhiksha and a sannyasi also can ask for Bhiksha. And so a grahastha should not live on Bhiksha. That is not his dharma. So that is a papam for him. Therefore, here the advice is, it is given assuming that the student happens to be a sannyasi, a jnani. And therefore, for as a sannyasi, you please live on bhiksha. Bhiksha means what? As for food from a few houses, there are special rules are there for taking bhiksha also. From which house one can get, which house one should not get, and how many houses he can ask for. All the rules are there. According to those rules, may you live on bhiksha, following those rules as a sannyasi. And adainyam, and when you ask for bhiksha, you should not feel any inferiority complex. In fact, you should feel proud to do that, because you are declaring that you are a sannyasi. And therefore, adainya means without feeling any complex, you can ask bhiksha. And even if there are some people who may criticize you, who may turn you away, take it as mana apamana yoho tulyaha, tulyo mitrari pakshayoho. That is what Krishna said in the Gita. In fact, the sense of mana, apamana, all those things should go away. Swami Chinmayananda, it seems, his guru, Swami Tapovan, he asked him to go around India for 1 year or 2 years without carrying any possession, especially money. You have to go and depend upon the society. They may scold you, they may criticize you, they may insult you. Then you have to transcend all of them. That was the training. In fact, bhiksha is kept for getting out of the mana apamana sense. And therefore, adainyam, that means do not feel ashamed to do this. Then another problem may be what? If one takes to bhiksha, there is a worry whether I will like the bhiksha that is offered. As I ask for bhiksha, they may give anything, whether it will be a good bhiksha. Therefore, that concern may come. Guru gives a strong warning. You should have mastered your tongue. As we have seen before itself, the first sadhana for spiritual growth is what? Is mastering the rasana indriyam, the eating tongue, as well as mastering the talking tongue. Both the eating tongue and the talking tongue, both has to be mastered. Yogasya pradamam dwaram. First step is vang nirodaha. By the time a person comes to such a situation, his control over the tongue must be thorough. So total control. Yadricha labasantushtaha. Kudvyadishyam. Chikitsyatam pratidinam bhikshaushadam bujyatam swadu annam natu yajyatam. Do not ask for tasty food. Swadu annam. Don't ask for tasty food and all. But just to take whatever is given. Bhavati, you cannot go and ask. Swamiji says, Bhagavati gurobjamun dehi. You cannot ask. Bhavati bhiksham dehi. I may like gulab jamun or whatever. Swadu annam natu yajyatam. Vidivashat prapte. By your purva punya, sometimes, suppose you get such a tasty food, somebody might want to give you. Remember, sannyasis also have got purva punyam, right? So hereafter, they may not get anymore papa, they may not get now, but punya or papa, but because of the purva punya, because of that prarabdham, that punya, you may get sometimes some tasty food. So vidivashat prapte na santushyata. Do not get overjoyed because somebody gave you a very, very tasty food. Then what should you do? Whatever comes, you be satisfied. That is what is said here. Chinta shunyam. Without thinking of food all the time. Because prarabdhaya samarpitam. You have dedicated your body to prarabdha. Prarabdha means what? The will of God. That means it is God's responsibility to feed the jnani's body. Ananyan stintayantoma, yejana paryupasate, tesham nityabhi yuktanam, yoga kshemam vahamya. Bhagavan has promised. Bhagavan will keep his promise. So surrender to the Lord with regard to the basic needs of life. Chinta shunyam, no anxiety at all. And then panam saridvarishu. What will you drink then? He is assuming that the sannyasi is a parivrajaka. Parivrajaka means a person who doesn't stay in one place for a long time. He keeps on moving from place to place. So, sarvam parityajya vrajati iti parivrajaka. Prajati. So, sarvam parityajya vrajati. The one who keeps on moving. Therefore, there are so many rivers all over. So, with Bhagavan's clear water is available. And all this water also potable water. Those days there was no pollution. All this discharge of all these effluents were not there. So, panam saridvarishu. Sarid means rivers. Vari means water. So, in the river waters, panam, may you have the drink, may you drink that water if you want water. Then what type of routine should I follow? Because in the Dharma Shastra and all those things, you know, so Brahme Muhurte Uttaya, may you daily get up. You know, what time you have to get up. Daily disciplines are given. What should you do? So you have to get up in the Brahma Muhurtam in the early, very early morning. He says, Swatantrayana, you are beyond all those rules and regulations. You are already a jnani. You are not bound by any rules and regulation. Swatantriyam means your will, your freedom. And the Nirankusha, Nirankusha means you are never restrained by the Vidhi and Nisheda, the do's and don'ts of the Shastras. Shastra prescribes what you should do, what you should not do. But for a jnani, those prescriptions are not there. So Ankusha, this Ankusha is a special weapon. Normally they use to control an elephant. The Mahout, he uses this element to keep the elephant under check. So from that, anything used for restraining, that is called an Ankusha. For a Vaidika Purushaha, what is Ankusha? So the Veda Vidhi Nisheda is the Ankusha. What are the do's and don'ts as prescribed in the Shastras, that is like the Ankusha. So if he feels like, for example, drinking alcohol, there is a desire, then Veda comes with an Ankusham. What is the Vedic Ankusham? The Vidhi, the commandment of Veda. What is the commandment? One should not touch, let alone drink, touch alcohol. One should not even smell even alcohol. So these are all the rules. So Veda, Vidhi, Nisheda, they become what? Ankusham. They restrain. They restrain what? Another powerful elephant. What is the more powerful elephant than the real elephant? The human mind. So for manas, for the mind, often the comparison is given to the elephant, which is a rat elephant, which is in musk, which is a mad elephant. So this elephant mind is restrained by Veda, Vidhi, Nisheda. The Guru tells the Shishya, you are no more restrained by Veda, Vidhi, Nisheda. Who? Which student? This Jnani student, not any ordinary student. Does that mean that he can drink liquor now? Remember, he is not restrained by Vedic Vidhis, all right, because by following that for a long time, he has assimilated that. So your personality is attuned already to Veda Shastra, that even without Vidhi Nisheda, he will be following that. And therefore, you are free. You are not restrained by Vidhi Nisheda. And here also we should note, there are mainly two types of sannyasa. One is, these terms we have used earlier, but I am just only going through that. One is called Vividisha Sannyasa and the other is called Vidvat Sannyasa. Vividisha Sannyasa and Vidvat Sannyasa. And Vividisha Sannyasa is a sannyasa taken by an Ajnani, taken for Gurukulavasa and Shastra Vichara. So Vividisha Sannyasi, he cannot roam about like the Parivrajakas. He has to be in one place, he has to be in the Gurukula, he has to follow all the disciplines, so he is still an Ajnani. He should not, so all these rules apply to him, because he has to practice. Shravanam, Mananam, all those he has to practice. So Vividisha Sannyasi is necessarily an Ajnani yet. Because the very word Vividisha means what? For the sake of knowledge he has taken this sannyasa for gaining knowledge. That means at present he does not have knowledge. Since Vividisha sannyasi is an ajnani, he can slip from spiritual path. He can slip easily. So in sannyasa ashrama, so for in Vividisha sannyasa, risk of the fall from the rules, that continues to be there. Even though he is in sannyasa ashrama, so Veda says, Vividisha Sannyasi does not have freedom. Vividisha Sannyasi does not have freedom. Yeah, Vividisha Sannyasi is also bound by sannyasa rules. And therefore, he has a routine. Sannyasi has a routine. So he should do snanam and all those mantra japa, parayanam, all that he has to do. He has got certain water rituals also. We said there are do's and don'ts. They are prescribed for even Vividisha Sannyasi. Following those roles, he becomes a jnani in due course. And after jnanam, he is called a vidvat sannyasi. So after becoming a vidvat sannyasi, then Veda gives him the freedom. Veda says, you can stay in an ashram or you can travel as you like. and you are free to follow the rules or you need not follow the rules. And the rules are symbolized by what? By the dandam that he carries. For the other three ashramas, Brahmacharya ashrama, Grihastha ashrama, Vanaprastha ashrama, the Vedic commandment is indicated by the sacred thread. That means what? I am following the Vedic commandments, which is the Ankusham, the controller, the restrainer. The Ankusham is symbolized by the thread for those ashramas. For a Vividisha sannyasi, the sacred thread is not there. But Vedic control is there. And that control must be symbolized by something. Thread is not there. Therefore, the thread becomes what? Dandam. So, dandam means discipline. That is why in the king, you know, king has a scepter. You know, he has got a scepter. So even, it seems, I think, in many places, even the local mayor will have some kind of scepter. That represents what? His power, the power control. So the thread is a control. And dandam is a control for whom? For the Vividisha sannyasi, vag dandam, mano dandam, kaya dandam, all disciplines. That one should be restrained in their walk, speech, in his mind, thinking, kaya, in his deeds, actions. So once he becomes a vidvat sannyasi, then Veda says, you keep the danda or you need not even keep the danda. Giving up the danda is called danda visarjanam. That means this vidvat sannyasi has transcended Vedic commandments. Not because he can violate all the rules, but because he has become incapable of violating the rules. Because adharma is caused only by atma ajnanam, but whereas he is a jnani. Therefore, as long as atma ajnanam is there, Veda has to control a person. A jnani is not controlled. Once maturity comes, external control is not there, is not needed. That is indicated by Nirankusha Stitihi. It's a very nice expression. He has transcended Vedas. And Abhihi, a life without a sense of insecurity. Abhihi means without any fear, insecurity. This is another irony also. Vidvat Sannyasi does not have any possession. Not even sure about his next meal. That is a Vidvat Sannyasi. But you find, even though he does not have the so-called external security, bank balance, house and all that, he should not keep the morning food for afternoon. Morning food he takes, that's why there are rules in how many houses you can go and ask for bhiksha, how much you can take, all that. So he cannot say, okay, I have got 5 chapatis in the morning, I will keep 2 for the evening. No. Having a doubt whether I will get something for the evening or not, let me keep, you know, 2 of them. So, according to our normal law, this sannyasi must be the most insecure person, because that's what we will think. And a grahastha with all the relationships, children, parents, money, bank balance, LIC, I mean all the insurance, share market, all those things. So, he must be the most secure person. That's what we all will think. But what is the most interesting thing? The so-called secure grahastha, he goes to a sannyasi for shanti. For mano nimmadi, he goes. So that's why Swamiji, he gives some guidance or something or other, you go and ask the Swamiji. The guy who is supposed to be the so-called secure person, he goes to such a sannyasi who is otherwise supposed to be very insecure. So from this it is very clear, possession does not give security. Security and insecurity are both mental conditions. It has no relationship with my possession whatsoever. And according to Vedanta, ajnanam is the cause of insecurity. Jnanam is the cause of security. Abhayam pratishtam vindate ataso bhayangato bhavati. Taittiriya Upanishad. Therefore, abhihi, abhayaha, may you move about without any sense of insecurity. Where to sleep in the night? I generally require an AC room. I need a cot. And a special sponge bed with a pillow of so much of size, blah, blah, so much thickness. How will I sleep otherwise? All those questions should not come. He says, Nidra smashane vane. Sleep anywhere. Smashana means the cremation ground. You can sleep in the cremation ground is the quietest place in the world. You say, where there is no noise. Vane. Vane means a forest. A forest, all the grass and so many other plants are there. And in that place, the grass can be a soft, you know, grass. So sleep anywhere, whether it is in a smashanam or whether it is in a vanam, wherever it is. And vastram, kshalana, soshana, soshanadirahitam. For food, you take bhiksha. For shelter, smashanam or vanam, both are fine. What is the next one then? Clothing. What should I wear? Vastram, kshalana, soshanadirahitam. Take any rag that is there on the street. So, the whatever is there on the street, any type of, you know, vastram you can take. Bhajagovindam, bhajagovindam. You know, all those things are all there. So, ratya charpata virachita kantaham, punya punya vivarjita pantaham, yogi yoga niyojita chitto, ramate balonmatta deva. Like the bala unmattaham, bhajagovindam. So, rags are available, take them. Because for a vidvasanyasi, even kshaya vastram rule, they go away. All the kshaya vastram, all those rules, they go away for him. So the strict rule of wearing kshaya vastram is only for a vividisha sannyasi. For a vidvasanyasi, even kshaya vastram means that the saffron robes. Even the saffron robe rule is not there for a vidvasanyasi. Therefore, take to any type of dress. But what about regularly washing the clothes? Wash in any river. Even those rules are not there. Therefore, shalana soshanadirahitam. Shalana means washing. And soshana means drying. Take any type of dress. Doesn't require even shalanam and shosanam. Whether you dry it or you wash it, doesn't matter. Take to rags, that's what it means. If you find using such dress is uncomfortable, then he says, I will suggest another better dress. Digvastu. Become a digambaraha, akasha vastradari. Who can wash the sky? Nobody can wash the sky. So drying is not there, washing is not there, and it is free of cost also. So Bhagavan has given akasha all over. Therefore, become a digambaraha. Remember, digambaratvam is not for Jains alone. It's for anybody. It is for a Vaidic sannyasi also that is there. If he is moving in the forest, but if he is in the society, then the society norms, decorum, they all come in the picture. And therefore, he is allowed to wear dress. So, digvastu shayya mahi. If you want shayya, shayya means bed. Use mahi. Mahi means earth. Then, where should you move about? Sancharo nigamanta vitishu. Here, Shankaracharya, he becomes very poetic. Sannyasi movement is what? All over the earth only. But here Shankaracharya puts it in a figurative form. Even though you may move from village to village, state to state, let the physical body move anywhere. May your mind always move in the shastras only. Keep akin to the shastras all the time. May you not be attracted by different places, different people, different dressing, different styles of food. Let not your mind dwell upon the varieties of anatmas. Even when you move, let your mind dwell upon the shastras. That means Brahman. So, sancharo nigamanta vidisho. Vidhi means street. So, on Vedantic highway, move about the Vedantic highway. It's a poetic expression. Nigamaha means Vedaha here. So, nigamantaha means Vedantaha. So, vidhi means highways or streets or by lanes, whatever it is. So, let that be your place of movement. That is Vedanta all the time. And if you want enjoyment in life, because the mind also wants some entertainment. That is the nature of the mind. So, if you want entertainment, what do you do? May you enjoy Brahman. Krida pare Brahmani. May your recreation ground, may your relaxation ground be the truth of Brahman. Pare Brahmani krida. And here Shankaracharya says, this is not a new advice I am trying to give you. Vidam. This is the practice of all the jnanis. Vida means jnaninam, atmanishtanam. So, this is the lifestyle. He says in Bhajagovindam beautifully, yoga ratova, boga ratova, sangha ratova, sangha vihinaha, yasya brahmani ramate chittam, nandati, nandati, nandatyeva. Yoga ratova, after becoming a vidvat sannyasi, he need not follow the discipline. But there is no such rule that he should not follow also. He can follow, he doesn't have to follow. He can continue to follow all the disciplines which he has practiced as a Vividisha Sannyasi. He may do the Japa, he may do the Parayana, therefore Yogarataha. Or Bogarataha, he doesn't follow any rules. He enjoys all in a free life comforts. This is what, this way or that way. Sangaratova, you know, he might be surrounded with various people, Sangha, so many people may be around him. He can have so many Shishyas, or he might have created institutions, or there may be sponsors for those institutions. So all, they are all Sanghas only, associations. So many may be associated with him. Or Sangha Vihinaha, he might not have any institution at all. He might not even teach. If he teaches, maybe he will have some Shishyas. He doesn't even teach. He might sit in a cave even, seclusion. But what is the uniqueness of all those jnanis? Yasya Brahmani Ramate Chittam Nandati Nandati Nandatyeva. His mind is always in Brahman. And he is always reveling in that enjoyment. Nandati Nandati Nandatyeva. Shloka 5:39.
Vimanamalambya Shariramethat Bhunaktyaseshan Vishayanupasthitan Parechaya Balavadatmavetta Yo Vyakta Lingo Nanushakta Bahyaha.
Shariram Alambya. Even though he is not attached to the body, Shariram, he is ready to lose the body also. It's not attached to the body. So the continuity of the body is not in his hand anyway. So even though for a Vidvat Sannyasi, no more goals are there to accomplish, he does not have to accomplish any goal also. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, none of them. He need not accomplish moksha also because he is already a muktaha. He need not accomplish dharmartha kama also because all of them are included in moksha anyway. So he is a chaturvida purushartha rahitaha. He doesn't have any of these purusharthas. And he has nothing to accomplish. He does not want to make use of his free will also. Because if you want to accomplish something, you have to use your free will. Because no more personal program for him. Therefore, the free will is not meant for his own purpose. It is dedicated at the feet of the Lord himself. Not that his free will is absent, but it is not required for him. And therefore, he does not want to use the free will to somehow protect the body also, because he has nothing to accomplish through the body. But even though he has nothing to accomplish, he does not want to destroy the body also, because the body does not belong to him. It belongs to the Lord. He has surrendered the body to the law of karma, which is the law of the Lord. So according to the law of karma, that is the law of Bhagavan, body has got certain duration of life. And therefore, it becomes the responsibility to maintain the body and as not his property, but as the property of the Lord. Otherwise, he should ask other people to bathe the body. Instead of doing that, he can take bath himself. Instead of saying, I am bathing, he says, I am bathing the body, which is the property of the Lord. And therefore, Vidvat Sannyasi, he maintains his body, he uses the body. Then what is the difference between Jnani maintaining the body as the property of the Lord and the Ajnani maintaining the body as his own property? Because outside it looks the same. Both eat, both bathe, both do everything. So the difference is, Shankaracharya says, Vimanam Shariraha. Manam means Abhimanam. Vimanam means Abhimana Rahitam. There is no attachment to the body. Body is protected, but there is no concern with regard to the body. For a Vidvat Sannyasi, body is taken care of, but there is no anxiety about it. So, Abhimana Rahita Shariram Alamya. A jnani uses the body without identification, without ownership, without worry. And then what type of enjoyment is given to the body? With regard to the type of food, clothing, Shankaracharya says, Parechaya Upasthitan. He does not have any personal desire. But because of other people's wish, Parechaya, Whatever they give him, those things he experiences. With respect to food, he only says, Bhavati Bhiksham Dehi. That's all he says. The menu is not decided by him. It is not to be decided by him also. The menu is decided by the giver. If he is an Ajnani, he meticulously thinks of the menu. It's a very, very big project. He does not plan. Then what? Yadrucha Labha Santushtaha. Therefore, Parechaya. That means by other people's wish. Whatever is offered, that is the wish of the society. And the wish of the society, that Jnani does not look upon as the wish of the society. Jnani looks upon the society as God himself. Therefore, even though he receives bhiksha from one person, he looks upon as the bhiksha given by the Lord through this grahastha. And tomorrow, the Lord alone is going to give through another grahastha. Therefore, para ichcha becomes Ishwara ichcha. Therefore, parechaya, Ishwara ichchaya. So, then Ishwara ichcha, you know, that will depend upon what? Does Ishwara has a partiality to give a better food to this sannyasi and some other so-so food to another sannyasi? No. Ishwara ichcha depends upon what? The prarabdham of the jnani also. Therefore, draivam and prarabdham are synonymous. God's will and your prarabdha are synonymous. You call it prarabdham, jnani calls it Ishwara ichcha. Therefore, parechaya, Ishwara ichchaya, or prarabdha vasat, all these three words, we can use them as synonymous. Upasthitan, whatever comes, whatever is that, vishayan, all these objects of experience. So, whatever objects of experience, and they need not necessarily be objects, but even experience. Some people glorify the jnani and they may do pada puja to him. Another place, they may just say hello to him and walk away. In another place, they may say something in front and behind him, they may criticize him. All those things may happen. Therefore, upasthitan, that includes mana, apamana, all those things, ninda, stuti, all of them. They are also Ishwara ichcha, which includes popularity also. Some jnanis are universally known. And remember, our country is so great that for every known jnani, we may have 100 unknown jnanis. That is the glory of this Bharat. So, why some jnanis are known, popular, again, prarabdha vashat. And some unknown jnanis are unknown, again, prarabdha vashat. And then, will that unknown, unpopular jnani sit in one corner and bother, I did not get any name, I did not get any honor, nobody recognizes me, that the other jnani got all that, will you think about it? If an unknown jnani, unpopular jnani is going to complain that time, I am unpopular, then he is not a jnani at all. A person who is enamored by popularity is still an ajnani. Because craving for popularity is another mahasamsara. Therefore, vishayan includes not only food and clothing, it includes mana, apamana, kirti, and even apakirti. Because once a person becomes popular, for all magazines and newspapers, it becomes a very sensational news. Because stories about that jnani, that popular jnani, it makes the magazine sell more. Unpopular jnani, he would not even bother. Nobody knows about him. And therefore, jnani welcomes if kirti comes or if apakirti comes. He doesn't care. You know, Rama, he got apakirti from the mouth of just a washerman. And Krishna got the name of, you know, a guy who stole the Shamantaka Mane, you know. Shamantaka Mane Khatre Namaha, that is a nama for him. The apakirti of the Lord, he got. When Lord himself cannot escape kirti and apakirti, what to talk of these jnanis? So, if this comes, the other one will come also. And therefore, aseshan vishayan. All these experiences, they are all ordered by what? By prarabdha. Bhunakti means he swallows all of them. It is like a big stomached Vinayaka, you know, Ganesha. Just as Vinayaka, he stomachs everything else. A jnani also stomachs everything. Parechaya, that should go with actually the second line. Parechaya, upasthitan, aseshan, vishaya. Objects and experiences, bhunakti. He consumes all of them. Like what? Balavath, like a baby. So the baby's diet and eating time, they are determined by whom? A baby never determines when to eat, how to eat, how much to eat, what to eat. The mother decides. The poor child does not have any choice at all. So jnani and baby are almost the same. You cannot say the baby is ignorant and therefore jnani is also ignorant. With regard to what the baby consumes, baby does not decide, only somebody else decides. Similarly, with regard to the jnani also, what to eat is decided by whom? Whichever grahastha gives bhiksha, and therefore he is balavate, like a child, like a baby. Atmaveta jnani. Jnani, he consumes everything. So, avyakta lingaha. Avyakta linga means the indicator of a particular ashrama. Linga. Linga means like a symbol. So, every ashrama has got a particular indicator, some symbol. What types of dress a brahmachari should wear, and what he has a danda to indicate he is a brahmachari, and then the thread will be only 3 strands for the thread, and even the type of danda will show whether he is a Brahmin brahmachari or a Kshatriya brahmachari or a Vaishya brahmachari, because for all of them sacred thread is there for all the 3, and danda is also 3 for all of them, and all of them study the Vedas also. Nobody studies now only. Then in those days everybody was studying. So earlier Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, all of them, they had sacred thread. All of them had danda. Not only a sannyasi, even brahmachari had a danda. And the type of plant used for the danda, what kind of plant one should use for the danda, that would show the Brahmana, Kshatriya and Vaishya. And he is supposed to have a tuft. That is called, that's a lingam. Lingam means a symbol. Similarly, a grahastha has thread with 6 threads or 9. And he wears dhoti in a different fashion, in a different style. So, we are talking about the original Vedic culture society. Let us not confuse today's society, but the original society. So, and looking at him, we know whether he is married or unmarried. Similarly, for ladies, by look, we can know whether the person is married or unmarried. So, the dress code was kept so that I know how to relate to them. Why should, traffic police, for example, should wear the white dress. In India, this is common. A particular dress to know how to treat him. A traffic police. And there is another dress. So, there is nothing wrong in it. They think that these are all old type of thing. But dress code is a wonderful system. In army, the grade of a soldier is indicated by his dress. So that one will know, whom one should salute. Who is senior, who is junior. Therefore, linga, all these symbols are there, indicators. For a sannyasi, kashayam, if he wears, the society knows he has to be given bhiksha. And if he is a young, then they will not ask for his jatakam and all that thing for marriage. My daughter is there, can I have your jatakam? Because he has got already kashayam, because he has got saffron robes, he is sannyasi. So, for a vidvat sannyasi, he has transcended all these lingas. So, up to the vividisha sannyasa, linga is there for brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastha and vividisha sannyasa, there are dress codes. For a vidvat sannyasi, for avadhuta sannyasi, there is another name for him. So, he transcended all the rules. Therefore, dress code, kashayadi, kamandalu, rudrakshamala, paduka, all those rules, they are all, so these are panjalingas. The 5 indicators are there for a sannyasi. And all that jnanam, for this jnanam, for a jnani, they will all go away. So, go means what? Not that he should not, he can continue, but he need not. He can wear kashaya vastram, or he need not wear also. Such a jnani is called avyakta linga for him. So, this is the height of Vedic society. The Vedic marga, the highest is absolute freedom. And since the sannyasi is not bound by any rule, there is no rule for him, there is nothing wrong in possessing those things also. We should remember, an avadhuta sannyasa need not possess anything, but there is no rule that he should not possess also. So, that is the rule for him. And so, for such a sannyasi, for such avadhuta sannyasi, or whomsoever it is, somebody, he gives some valuable silken clothes and golden things, he can choose to wear them or not. There is nothing wrong in having or not having. So, you should not see only one side. He has got a palatial ashrama given by someone, AC room and all that given by a devotee. Nothing wrong in using them. We can never say, oh, he is keeping all those luxury. Therefore, his presence is also okay, absence is also okay. Then what is the difference between luxurious, confused Ajnani and this luxurious so-called Ajnani? Shankaracharya says, the difference is Ananushakta Bahyaha. He is not attached to any one of them. He may use them when they are available. He will not grumble if they are not available. So internally, he is detached from them. He does not need any one of them. So possessing is not a problem. Using is not a problem, but needing them is a problem. And how do I know whether I need them and I possess it? Or with detachment or I possess them? Or how do I know? When they are not available, watch the mind. That is why we have got a sadhana called tapas. Whatever we regularly use, we don't use for some days. And then watch yourself. If our mind does not waver at all in the absence of them, then it means that we mastered them. All these ekadashi vratam and all are for that. But one day, if coffee is not available, or one day fan is not available, AC is not available, people make a big fuss about it. It means I am not using them, but I am addicted to them. And therefore, internally, this avadhuta, he is detached. That is indicated by the word ananushankaha. So detached, bahya. Bahya means external possessions. Anushakta bahyaha means attached to external possessions. Ananukta bahyaha means not attached to external possessions. Maybe we'll stop here and we'll continue in the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakriti leenasya parasamaheshwara asti krishna arpanamastu narayana.